Parzival, but his other works as well. It is not so much the Grail as the Grail family. Indeed, the Grail family seems to dominate Wolfram's mind to an almost obsessive degree, and he devotes far more attention to them and their genealogy than to the mysterious object of which they are custodians. The genealogy of the Grail family can be reconstructed from a close reading of Parzival. You don't want me to do that, do you? See, you weren't even listening. You didn't want him to talk about. See, you just took off. You didn't even know that time what it is I'm left dangling. I skipped this paragraph then. Hell with you. You better wake these people up. Well, I want to know. Get on the phone, wake these people up. Everybody call. Every phone you just dial, stop constantly. Just dial and say, wake up, hang up, dial again, say, wake up. Get these people awake. I'm not going to go with a bunch of deadheads. What is this? View of Anfortis, the maimed Fisher King, and Lord of the Grail Castle. Anfortis, in turn, is the son of one Premutel, and Premutel is the son of Titurel. At this point, the lineage becomes more entangled. Eventually, however, it leads back to a certain Lazileus, which may be a derivation of Lazarus, the brother in the New Testament of the Magdalene. And Lazileus' parents, the original progenitors of the Grail family, are named Mazadon and Terdelishwa. The latter is obviously a Germanic version of a French phrase, Terdelishwa, or Terdelishwa, translated chosen land. Mazadon is rather more obscure. It might conceivably derive from the Zoroastrian Ahura Mazda, or Ahura Mazda, the dualist principle of light. At the same time, it also, if only phonetically perhaps, suggests Masada, a major bastion during the Judaic revolt against Roman occupation in A.D. 68. Here they're starting to set us up. The names Wolfram ascribes to members of the Grail family are thus often provocative and suggestive. At the same time, however, they told us nothing that was historically useful. When are they going to figure out they don't know the key? And the key they inject into it ain't the one. If we hope to find an actual historical prototype for the Grail family, we would have to look elsewhere. The clues were meager enough. We knew, for example, that the Grail family supposedly culminated in Godfrey de Bouillon, or Godfrey de Bouillon. But that did not cast much light on Godfrey's mythical antecedents, except, of course, that like his real antecedents, they kept their identity scrupulously secret. Now, some of you that wanted these puppies gave up because of some pranksters. And you'll miss out. You'll wish you hadn't. Have faith. Plus the fact I wouldn't sell Kahn's puppies to the wrong person for $30,000. I don't want to be sued for puppies biting people who don't tithe. I mean, they'll make Fisher Kings out of some of you. I reckon that's what's wrong with some of these TV evangelists. They're just frustrated Fisher Kings.
Yes, sir.
Like Godfrey's real antecedents, the mythical ones kept their identity scrupulously secret. But according to Wolfram, Keel found an account of the Grail story in the annals of the House of Anjou, and Parzival himself is said to be too many people with their eyes closed in here, and we don't believe in praying in public. Parzival himself, in this story, is said to be of Angevin blood. At the least, this was extremely interesting, for the House of Anjou was closely associated with both the Templars and the Holy Land. Too cold in here. Indeed, Fulke, remember old Fulke? Count of Anjou, himself became, so to speak, an honorary or part-time Templar. In 1131, moreover, he married Godfrey de Bouillon. This is just like Peyton Place. In 1131, moreover, he married Godfrey de Bouillon's niece, the legendary Melusine, or Melusine, and became king of Jerusalem. I'll be a ring-tail cat. According to the priory documents, the lords of Anjou, the Plantagenet family, were thus allied to the Merovingian bloodline. We're finally getting back. And the name Plantagenet may even have been intended to echo plantard or plantard. Such connections were patchy and tenuous. And you know who the father and mother of these puppies are. Such connections were patchy and tenuous. But additional clues were provided for us by the geographical setting of Wolfram's poem. For the most part, this setting is France. In contrast to later Grail chroniclers, Wolfram even maintains that Arthur's court, Camelot, is situated in France. Quite specifically, at Nantes. Nantes, now in Brittany, was the westernmost boundary of the old Merovingian realm, at the apex of its power. Now we're getting back on familiar ground. In a manuscript of Crichton's version of the Grail story, Percival declares he was born in Scaudone, or Cynodon, or some such place that appears in a number of orthographic variants, and the region is described as mountainous. According to Wolfram, Percival comes from Wales. Most scholars have taken Wales to be Wales, and Cynodon in its various spellings as Snowdon or Snowdonia. Now we're back to Wales. And the Cymry. I'm boring you.
No, sir.
You get some roach clips and hold your eyes balls open. Just hook them onto your eyelashes and hold up like that. I got to see these lights reflect. If this is so, however, certain insurmountable problems arise. And as one modern commentator remarks, maps fail us. for characters move constantly between Whaley's and Arthur's Court at Nantes, as well as other French locations without crossing any water. They move overland, in short, and through regions, I guess, how else do you move when you're not crossing water? I mean, don't talk down to me. They move overland, in short. You know, they explain overland and leave so many other things unexplained. Thank you, Bagent, Lee, and Lincoln. At least 273 pages have figured out what overland means. Not over water is overland. Not over water is over land. Now, is there an in-between or another, you know, is there something over water and over land? What else could you be over? Land or water, what else could you be over? Well, you can be over air in either case, so that's kind of confusing. Well, they really work hard to interpret. Like some other interpretations I've heard. Did James write this paragraph? They move overland, in short, and through regions whose inhabitants speak French. Well, that's right going out the gate. Something wrong with them to do that. Was Wolfram's geography simply sloppy, or? Holy Blood, Holy Grail by Bagent, Lee, and Lincoln. Maps fail us, for characters move constantly between Whaley's and Arthur's Court at Nantes, and as well as other French locations, without crossing any water. And then they explain. They move overland, in short. So. And through regions whose inhabitants speak French. Was Wolfram's geography simply sloppy? Can it possibly have been that careless? Or might Whaley's not be Wales after all? Well, or Nantes not be Nantes after all? And then not speak French after all? Not be on this earth at all? Two scholars. He throws that word around loosely, doesn't he? Like he's talking in parables, scholars. Two scholars have suggested that it might be Valois, the region of France to the northeast of Paris. But there are no mountains in Valois. Nor does the rest of the land escape conform in any way to Wolfram's description. Well, fool. He's talking in parable. You're not able if you're not on par. At the same time, however, there is another possible location for Whaley's. A location that is mountainous, that does conform precisely to Wolfram's other topographical descriptions, and whose inhabitants do speak French. This location is... Ah, so! Ha, ha! And they breed Sharpays there. Or do they? This location is the You hate me, don't you? A little anger in your system will wake you up. Get the adrenaline flowing. This region is the blank. In blank, on the shores of Lake Blank, to the east of blank. It would seem, in short, that Parzival's homeland is neither Wales, nor Valois, nor Valais. Oh, it is the Valais in Switzerland, on the shores of Lake Leman, to the east of Geneva. It would seem, in short, that Parzival's homeland is neither Wales nor Valois, but Valais. And his actual birthplace, they always, well, let's go. And his actual birthplace of Cynodon would not be Snowdon or Snowdonia, but Sidonensis, the capital of Valais. Yodio. And the modern name of Sidonensis, capital of Valais. The modern name of Sidonensis, capital of Valais, is Sion. Caught you by surprise, didn't I? According to Wolfram, then, Arthur's court is in Brittany. Parzival would seem to have been born in Switzerland. And the Grail family itself, the Grail castle, Wolfram provides an answer in his most ambitious work, left unfinished at his death and entitled, blank, blank, blank. In this evocative fragment, Wolfram addresses himself to the life of blank, father of blank, and the original builder of the Grail Castle. Blank, blank, blank is very specific, not only about genealogical detail, but also about the dimensions, the components, the materials, the configuration of the Grail Castle, its circular chapel, for example, like those of the Templars, and the castle itself is situated in the blank. In addition to blank, 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 that other work, Wolfram left another work unfinished at his death, the poem known as Blank, whose protagonist is Blank the Blank, blank ruler of the 9th century, blank, blank, the blank, blank. Blank is said to be associated with the Grail family. I'm making it more interesting than they do. You want to know about the blanks?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's read again. According to Wolfram, then, Arthur's court is in Brittany. Parzival would seem to have been born in Switzerland. And the Grail family itself, question mark, the Grail castle, question mark, Wolfram provides an answer in his most ambitious work, left unfinished at his death. Wouldn't you know it? Unfinished. And the old boy died. It's as bad as the priest dying and Marie dying. All these untimely dyings. I'm going to go in a rapture so I can finish up there. Wolfram provides an answer in his most ambitious work, left unfinished at his death and entitled Der Junge Tickturel. That's what I said. In this evocative fragment, Wolfram addresses himself to the life of Tickturel, father of Anfortis, and the original builder of the Grail Castle. Der Jung Tictuel is very specific, not only about genealogical detail, also about the dimensions, blah, 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 and the castle itself is situated in the Pyrenees, between Spain and France. In addition to Der Jung Tictuel, Der Jung, Wolfram left another work unfinished at his death, the poem known as Willehelm, whose protagonist is William de Gelon, Merovingian ruler of the 9th century principality straddling the Pyrenees. Remember that little kingdom recognized by Charlemagne? Little known section of history. William is said to be associated with the Grail family. He would thus seem to be the only figure in Wolfram's works, I might add, so mystical and symbolic, whose historical identity can actually be determined. Treatment of the unidentifiable figures, Wolfram's meticulous precision is astonishing. The more one studies him, the more likely it seems that he is referring to an actual group of people, not a mythic or fictionalized family, but one that did exist historically and may well have included Guillaume de Gelon, Gelon. This conclusion becomes all the more plausible when Wolfram admits he is hiding something, that Parzival and his other works are not merely romances, but also initiation documents, depositories of secrets. We're still where we were when we started. Secrets. Let's look at the Grail and Kabbalism, the Jewish mystical school. As the Perlusvaus suggests, the Grail, at least in part, would seem to be an experience of some kind. In his excursus on the Grail's curative properties and its power to ensure longevity, Wolfram would also seem to be implying something experiential as well as symbolic. Not boring you?
No, sir.
A state of mind or a state of being. I bet you know more about the Grail tonight than you ever knew. You just thought it was some cup somebody carried around. Spilled some blood, something on the ground, thorn bush grew. Die, you silly thing. You're not the only one I got. Anything that little doesn't deserve any attention. There seems little question There seems, why do people say that? That's right. There seems little question. You know he means no question. Thank you. There seems little question that on one level, the Grail is an initiatory experience that in modern terminology would be described as a transformation or altered state of consciousness. Alternatively, it might be described as a Gnostic experience or a mystical experience or an illumination or union with God. It is possible to be even more precise and place the experiential aspect of the Grail in a very specific context. That context is the Kabbalah and Kabbalistic thought. Certainly such thought was much in the air at the time the Grail romances were composed. There was a famous Kabbalistic school at Toledo, for instance, where Kiel is said to have learned of the Grail. Am I boring you? There were other schools at Girona, Montpellier, and elsewhere in the south of France. And it would hardly seem coincidental that there was also such a school at Troyes. It dated from 1070, Gottfried de Bouillon's time, and was conducted by one Rashi, perhaps the most famous of medieval Kabbalists. Throw me a quip.
No, sir.
You going to be at King's House Sunday?
Yes, sir.
It is impossible here, of course, to do justice to the Kabbalah or Kabbalistic thought, or the Kabbalah either. Nevertheless, certain points must be made in order to establish the connection between Kabbalism and the Grail romances. Very briefly, then. Now you're going to learn something else. They don't do bad with this. Very briefly, then. Kabbalism may be described as an esoteric Judaism, a practical psychological methodology of uniquely Judaic origin designed to induce a dramatic transformation of consciousness. In this respect, it may be viewed as a Judaic equivalent of similar methodologies or disciplines in Hindu, Buddhist, and Taoist tradition, certain forms of yoga, for example, or of Zen. Like its Eastern equivalents, Kabbalistic training entails a series of rituals, a structured sequence of successive initiatory experiences leading the practitioner to ever more radical modifications of consciousness and cognition. In the modern anti-cult world, that would be called brainwashing. And though the meaning and significance of such modifications is subject to interpretation, you know, I'm tired of the way that cults are treated. God gave us freedom and risked the most terrible thing, the misuse of that freedom. And let people bear the consequences of it, including their descendants, you and me. That's why I'm going to hit old Adam in the mouth, first day in heaven. As far as I'm concerned, if parents have 15, 16, 20 years with a kid, and somebody can steal their mind from them, that's the parents' problem. I'm tired of this anti-cult craze. I've had it. Do you know if Jesus walked around and called disciples to leave their families? We'd hear cult, cult, cult screamed everywhere. He hadn't yet risen from the dead. He hadn't proven his ordination. I'm tired of this.
I really am. I'm just sick and tired of it. You know, every love affair involves, not everyone, but most love affairs involves, to some degree, brainwashing. What are we going to do? Every marriage involves it. I mean, what the hell are we going to do? Go back to planned marriages? Family-organized marriages? Why has somebody got any more right to marry some dope than to get religiously involved with some dope? I don't need the government to tell me who not to worship. I mean, if you want to follow somebody who doesn't talk for 3 years and give him Rolls Royces, that's your business, isn't it? When are we going to stop this managing of people's lives? I'm tired of it. Some of the most ancient and respected religions demand everything from someone. I can speak freely on it because I ain't in that group. I don't want to save anybody. I don't want to convert anybody. I'm for you and God working it out. With nobody in between. I'm just tired of the attitude that it's good to substitute the domination of the majority for some minority viewpoint. It's no less brainwashing just because the majority demand it. And it's time for somebody on television to say, let us alone. Let us make our damn mistakes. Let us do what we want to do as long as it doesn't intrude into your freedom. My freedom stops where your nose begins. Get your nose out of my business. Yeah. Well, said differently, my freedom starts where your nose ends off. Make heroes out of Masada. Talked into suicide, and innocent children's lives were taken. I hate Jonestown. I hated Jimmy Jones before he ever left. I wasn't the stupid government officials that fawned on him because that he could deliver bodies to their political rallies. Then because they got jackasses made out of themselves, they took out a vengeance on every other decent church. I ain't doing penance for asteroid orifices. I hate Jimmy Jones. He ain't the only person that sent people unjustly to death. He made kids drink punch through their parents. We sent them to Vietnam and wouldn't let them win. Somebody get up and yell, leave us alone. And I sat and listened to the two children of Ryan on Night Watch, and one sister getting on to the sister that was following the Bhagwan. As I listened objectively, the sister who followed the Bhagwan appeared more at peace, more intelligent, and more free than the other one. The other one was bound up and brainwashed into social pain. And I got so tired of them comparing the Bhagwan. I don't like the Bhagwan. I don't even like the color robes he wears. I mean, there's something wrong with anybody to let a woman take over his organization and steal $36 million from him, or 56. So I ain't no Bhagwan fan. What the hell can you do with 90 Rolls Royces? And they weren't even classics.
the town where he picked it. No beaches. So I know Bhagwan fans, but I got so damn mad of them talking about their sister and comparing the control the Bhagwan had over her to the control Jimmy Jones had over his crowd. Jimmy Jones took their passports. They couldn't leave if they wanted to. False imprisonment was the first crime. Don't compare somebody who takes you in a foreign country and then when you get there, takes your passport. I've taken people on tours, and I carried their passports, but they could have them back. I did it because we went through customs as a group. Don't compare somebody who takes passports from people in a foreign land until they can't leave with somebody that's surrounded by people who just like him. Why'd I get on this? Because I worship the opportunity to be free. Tired of dummies. And what I got on here is that some of the most ancient religions call for commitment. You ought to go to Japan and see what the Zen Buddhists put their devotees through. Masada was suicide that society approves rather than accept the Romans. They commit suicide, kill their children. And we make heroes out of Masada, take tour groups there. Who is for good cause? Who's good cause? Maybe those kids didn't want to be Jews. Wanted to marry a Roman and become a senator. We need to quit being stupid. The worst brainwashers in the world are news media. They sock it to us every night. 80 to 90% of them don't even believe in God. Too stupid to synthesize life with ultimate reality. Always getting on people taking money from Social Security people. Anybody here on Social Security? Any newsman ever offered to make a donation to you? They don't care about Social Security. It's an issue of mind control. People hate people that are controlled by someone other than themselves. I can be controlled by anybody but God, and I recommend you do the same. Kabbalistic training entails a series of rituals, a structured sequence of successive initiatory experiences leading the practitioner to ever more radical modifications of consciousness and cognition. And by the way, we've deified psychiatrists. In the modern society, the liberals have. Every citizen ought to read what the psychiatrists did and were used to do in Nazi Germany. Not all psychiatrists are like that, but neither are all preachers like Jimmy Jones. Presidents like Nixon. What they should have done with Nixon is make him Secretary of State and somebody else president. You need a good liar to deal with the Russians. They should have paroled him as our national China-Russia dealer and said, be yourself.
offer the mafia amnesty and give them Lebanon. You never know whether I'm serious or not, do you? At this hour, it doesn't matter. Like its Eastern equivalents. You know what Roosevelt said when he... They said, what do you put Joseph Kennedy in charge of the Securities and Exchange Commission for? He said, takes thieves to catch one. The old pragmatist. Have fun.